At Notre Dame Federal Credit Union, both members and partners are considered family. They're a national financial institution serving thousands of members in all 50 states, and they'd like a chance to serve relevant radio listeners as well. Call toll-free 844-237-6611.
The following is a relevant radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio. With Glenn Leverenz, here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, April 27th, 2016, at 5 minutes after the hour. Among the things we'll get to in this hour of Morning Air, creating a culture of vocations. Vocations not only to the priesthood and religious life, but also the vocation of marriage, the vocation being a single Catholic. Take a look at that with Bishop Edward Scharfenberger, the Bishop of the Diocese of Albany, New York. That's coming up. But right now, let's go on a journey. Diana von Glenn is back with us. If you recognize that name, and of course, you've probably traveled with her via television on EWTN, on Catholic TV, now on Shalom World Television. She is back on television with The Faithful Traveler, a papal pilgrimage in the Holy Land, and this is a 3-episode special television series taking a look at the important history behind these papal pilgrimages to the Holy Land, really going back to Paul VI all the way up to Pope Francis and his meeting with Patriarch Bartholomew just a couple of years ago. And Diana joins us this morning. Diana, good to have you back on. It's good to have you back on television, too. Welcome.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to present our new baby to the world.
Yeah, and it's on a number of networks, from Catholic TV to EWTN to Shalom World. In fact, we'll put the link to Diana's website, which is thefaithfultraveler.com, on our Morning Air Facebook page, so you can watch The Faithful Traveler, a papal pilgrimage in the Holy Land. What a fascinating topic.
Yes, we were very excited to be invited to create this series. It is a departure from what we normally do. You know, for those who are familiar with The Faithful Traveler, we are just normally a Catholic travel show. Mm-hmm. We go to Catholic shrines and places of pilgrimage around the world, and we tell people what's there. But for this experience, we were actually invited by the Israel Ministry of Tourism to film parts of Pope Francis's pilgrimage 2 years ago in the Holy Land. And, you know, when people say, hey, do you want to film the Pope, you never say no.
I would hope not.
No, it was probably one of the most insane experiences of my life. I have never had to deal with so much red tape or running around like a crazy person, but it might have been frustrating while we were doing it, but it leads for some fun memories. And, you know, and in the end, the production, I'm extremely proud of it. And, you know, we had 3 goals with this series. First, we wanted to follow the Holy Father, and of course, his pilgrimage was 3 days in the Holy Land. His first day was in the beautiful Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, which is what our first episode is on. His second day was in Bethlehem, which is what our second episode is on. And then his third day was in Jerusalem, which is what our third episode is on. And then we wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, what's the big deal? Like, why is he doing this? Why is this important? Why is this so historic? So we talked a little bit about the history. And then we visited some of the places that our Holy Father and our previous Holy Fathers visited in the Holy Land during their pilgrimages.
Our guest this morning is Diana von Glenn, and the new episodes of The Faithful Traveler will come up with a focus on a papal pilgrimage in the Holy Land. We'll put the link to the website, The Faithful Traveler, on our Morning Air Facebook page, so you can watch it on Catholic TV, Shalom World, EWTN, Southern California, in California on KNXT, Catholic Television, Salt and Light Television, as well as NetTV in the Diocese of Brooklyn and here in the New York metropolitan area. So if I could trade jobs for a day, it's that photographer, that videographer who's always about 10 steps away from Pope Francis all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, I know.
Well, you were up close and personal. What did you not know about a papal pilgrimage, especially to the Holy Land, that you learned after shooting these 3 episodes in Jordan, Bethlehem, and Jerusalem?
I never knew how early journalists have to get up to be scrubbed to go to an event. you know, like I said, I mean, I don't consider myself a journalist. I'm a television producer, which is, you know, it's different. Like I said, we don't follow events. We normally just produce our own thing. But this was different, and we had to go through all the protocols. And so one of the, we were blessed to attend two of the Holy Father's events in the Holy Land. The first was the Papal Mass in Bethlehem, and the second was the visit to the presidential home in Jerusalem, where he met with then President Shimon Peres. And for the Bethlehem Mass, I had to get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning to get ready to then meet somewhere at 5 to be stuck in a room that was very smoky because lots of people smoke, lots of journalists smoke apparently. And then we just kind of stood around, and then it was like this funnel going through the doors, and then we had to be like sniffed by dogs, you know, to make sure that we didn't have anything dangerous with us. And apparently this is something that they do pretty regularly, which just blows my mind.
And also, being in the Holy Land, you understand what we take for granted here in the United States, and that is peace, but something that is really not a part of their lives for the most part. And the message that I know the Pope has communicated so many times that, you know, building peace is difficult. So you had an opportunity to just really just live the lives of those people who live there under that cloud of doubt all the time, that torment.
Yeah, that was also something that I think we learned, and we hope to communicate in this series, is that, you know, a lot of what the American news cycle presents to us is that everybody hates everybody in the Holy Land, and that's
right.
Not true. We met people that were Muslim in Jordan. We met people that were Jewish in Israel. We met people that were Christian in Israel and, you know, Jordan and Bethlehem, of course. And everyone that I met was like, we want peace. We want peace, you know, at whatever, we want peace. And so I think that, you know, there are a lot of people out there who do want that and who do want to reconcile with one another and to do it in a peaceful way. And that was a big, you know, the purpose of the Holy Father's pilgrimage was to bring the unification of the Orthodox and the Roman Catholic churches one step closer. Mm-hmm. You know, they have been working on that since Pope Paul VI met with Patriarch Athenagoras back in the 50s. And so they've been taking steps ever since then, which is wonderful. And it's a beautiful thing. But I think that there was this underlying current also that, you know, while there can be peace between these two factions of the church, there can also be peace between, you know, Muslims and Jews and Christians. And Jordan is a great example of that. You know, the king there does enormous projects, and he's always doing things to help create interfaith unity and communication. And, you know, the fact that he recently said that he was going to help fund the restoration of the edicule in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is one instance of that. So, you know, we just want to say to people, you know what, everybody in the Holy Land is not fighting. Everybody in the Holy Land does not want to keep fighting, and it is a beautiful place to go. And also, I want to encourage people to go, because I think that of any pilgrimage, of any trip that we will ever take in our lives, there is no place that will change your life, your prayer life, your you know, your life as a Catholic, than going to the Holy Land.
The papal message of love, that message that is consistent with Pope Francis, but this papal message of love in an area that is racked by turmoil, you got up close and personal with the people who lived there. How did you see the papal message of love affect their lives?
They were so excited. I can't even tell you. They were all just thrilled to have him there. They were also proud that he was visiting them, especially the Jordanians. You know, they often kind of get the short end of the stick when it comes to pilgrims going to the Holy Land, because people forget that they're part of the Holy Land too. You know, so much of the Old Testament took place in the Holy Land, and one of the most important parts of Jesus' ministry, the beginning of his ministry, his baptism, took place in Jordan. So, you know, everywhere we went, people of all faiths were so thrilled to have him there. I remember in the Bethlehem Mass, we were looking out into the crowd, and there were people, there were Muslims, there were Jews, there were Christians, there were, you know, just everybody was there, and they were just so, they just had these bright smiles on their faces, and they were just so excited to see the Holy Father. So, yeah, I think that that's something that he just, you know, he's the face of love for us, and he brings that out in us.
As Diana von Glahn was explaining, The Faithful Traveler, A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land, this three-episode series looking at the important history behind papal pilgrimages is a bit of a departure from what you have seen on The Faithful Traveler over the years. So what's coming up next?
I am working on our next series, which is going to focus. We're going back to what we normally do, and we're going to focus on the sacred sites in Portugal, which, you know, for those of your listeners who know, the 100th anniversary of the Marian apparitions at Fatima is coming up next year. In fact, the 100th anniversary of the angel visiting Lucia and Francisco and Jacinta happened in 1916. So we are now in the 100th anniversary of that. And, you know, we were blessed to visit Portugal twice, and there are so many beautiful sites in that country. So we're excited to introduce those to viewers and to hopefully bring people out there to see them.
If you ever want to do a radio version of that, Glenn and I are always available. We can probably fit the travel into our schedules. We're becoming unashamed in asking this morning. We asked Father Rocky to take us to Rome the next time because he's in St. Peter's Square this morning and there for the 10th annual Church Communications Conference in Rome. So we've put our shame aside. It's Shameless Wednesday here on Morning Air. Diana von Glahn, The Faithful Traveler, A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land. Many venues where you can see this three-part series. We'll put the link to thefaithfultraveler.com on our Morning Air Facebook page so you can watch this beautiful three-part series that Diana has done. Thank you so much for your time, Diana. Look forward to watching this on television.
Thanks, John.
The Faithful Traveler, Diana von Glahn, this morning here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio, looking at a culture of vocations. We'll do that with Bishop Edward Scharfenberger from the Diocese of Albany. We're also mentioning that Father Rocky is at the 10th Annual Church Communications Conference. So many different Catholic conferences, maybe even in your diocese, in your parish. You open up the bulletin on a Sunday and you see conferences that are happening in your diocese. The importance of attending those. We'll take a look at that as we continue in this hour of Morning Air. Time now is 17 after on Wednesday morning. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 27th. Today we celebrate Saint Louis Mary de Montfort. The life of today's saint is inseparable from his efforts to promote genuine devotion to Mary, the Mother of Jesus and Mother of the Church. Totus tuus, meaning completely yours, was Louis's personal motto. Centuries later, Karol Wojtyła chose it as his episcopal motto when he was named a bishop in Poland. Born in a French village in 1673, Louis was ordained a diocesan priest in 1700. Soon after, he began preaching parish missions throughout western France. Years of extensive travel and ministering to the poor prompted him to live very simply, which sometimes got him into trouble with church authorities. Thousands were brought back to the faith through his preaching, in which he recommended frequent, even daily, Holy Communion, not the custom then, an imitation of the Virgin Mary's ongoing acceptance of God's will for her life. Louis founded the missionaries of the Company of Mary for priests and brothers, and the Daughters of Wisdom, women who cared especially for the sick. His book, True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin, has become a classic explanation of Marian piety. Louis de Montfort died in 1716 and was canonized in 1947.
There's more about the saints along with the Saint of the Day app at relevantradio.com, keyword saint. Saint of the Day is a production of Franciscan Media.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Wow, this absolutely blew my mind. Scientists have shown for the first time that human life begins in a bright flash of light as the sperm meets an egg. You know what's so cool is that the explosion of these tiny little sparks erupts from the egg at the exact moment of conception. These astonishing fireworks, they've been caught on film. Be sure to join me 3 to 6 Eastern as I explore this fascinating discovery on Relevant Radio.
After its Morning Air on Relevant Radio. This is National Infertility Awareness Week. We have been talking about the spiritual resources available to you as a married couple if infertility is affecting your marriage. And we have the links on our Morning Air Facebook page for you. And we're about to add another link, and it's a beautiful book from Ave Maria Press that's just out, which is called The Infertility Companion for Catholics. One of the co-authors joins us this morning. It's Angelique Rui Lopez in the Archdiocese of Miami, who's written this book along with Carmen Santa Maria. Good morning, Angelique. Good to have you on Morning Air.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, you have three biological children, but at the very beginning of your marriage, infertility was something that affected you and your husband. You wound up adopting. What was that first year like, and those challenges, not only as a married couple, but a challenge to your faith?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say probably the toughest time in our marriage. We felt the call to be parents. We felt that God was calling us to that vocation, but it wasn't happening, and it wasn't happening on our timetable. It had to happen in God's, and it was difficult for us to communicate. It was a challenge to have others who weren't experiencing it understand. And in the end, the graces were incredible in the sense that we felt called to adopt our son, our eldest, who is now 9 years old. We brought him home from Vietnam and certainly couldn't imagine our lives without him. And of course, God did surprise us. And we have four biological children subsequently now, too. And it just goes to show that we sometimes think that we have the reins, and in the end, we don't.
I love how you put that, the graces that God gave you in that first year of dealing and coping with infertility, and then adopting as well. The Infertility Companion for Catholics from Ave Maria Press is a book that not only talks about church teaching, but it offers a great deal of spiritual support. Talk a little bit about the spiritual support that is in the Infertility Companion for Catholics.
Sure. I got together with my best friend, who I've known since high school, because we each experienced infertility in different ways. For us, it was what's called primary infertility, which is the first time we were trying to conceive. And for her, she already had biological children, her and her husband felt called to grow their family. But unfortunately, that wasn't happening. So she faced what's called secondary infertility. So we pulled together our research, our personal reflections, and any resources that we found to create this book. And we felt we wanted it to, yes, have the church teachings, for which also the book has an imprimatur, but we also wanted it to be a spiritual resource. There are prayers at the end of every chapter. Certainly, couples are encouraged to continue a sacramental life. I think that's what helped to get us through, certainly frequently confession. Frequent confession, weekly mass, if not more, just ways to continue to connect to the church, whether we feel we're going through the motions, whether we're feeling it or not. We know that the graces can break through the sorrow and the suffering. We also encourage couples to continue to pray together, just to continue to remain connected also to service in the church, sometimes serving in marriage ministry or, that suffering can be brought to good fruit by serving others. And that's what we encourage people to do in the book.
Very well put. We were having a conversation about this with a couple out in Denver, Colorado, who have put together a support group for other Catholic couples who are going through infertility. And of course, prayer is just one of the recurring themes that we keep coming up with. In fact, we were talking about prayer and devotion to Saint Anne a little bit earlier, mm-hmm. which I'm sure is something that you and your husband had going through that first year of marriage and infertility before you were blessed with biological children. One of the things we started touching on, and we'd be interested in your perspective as well today, Angelique, is as family members, as friends, what we should do, what we should do, what we should say, what we shouldn't say.
I think for the biggest thing that I think that we've discovered is it can't be the elephant in the room. I think that couples who are going through this need to be allowed the opportunity to say yes, they want to talk about it, or no, they don't. And I think that sometimes family and friends approach the subject with a little bit of trepidation because they don't know, what's respectful, what's right, what's not. I don't think we need to walk on eggshells. I think that if we love and want to support the couple, we can say, hey, I know you're going through this. Do you want to talk about it? Is there anything I can pray for? Maybe they have a doctor's appointment that's coming up or a social worker that they're going to meet with for an adoption. Those are the types of things that we can get involved while respecting the wishes of the couple. And for all we know, the couple wants to talk about it, wants to go out and maybe kind of diffuse. We just need to allow the couple to take the lead. But if we don't put ourselves out there as family and friends who are supporting them and say, how can I help you? We won't know. We need them to kind of guide us and tell us, you know, this is how you can help me. This is how you can pray for me. This is how you can be there for me.
We have to do a little more homework, and I'm going to do this on our end here, Angelique, here at Morning Air, to find out what diocesan resources, what church resources are available all across the country, because we did have a number of pieces of email and phone calls from listeners wondering, what resources do we have in our own dioceses? Where can we turn in our own church for that? And I would imagine, just off the top of my head, the Family Life Office in your local diocese may be a good starting point as well. I don't know if you have any resources in the Archdiocese of Miami where you reside, but when you turned to the church, what kind of resources were available to you and your husband very early on in your marriage?
Very few, but fortunately, I think that is changing. Dioceses, I think, are getting wind of the fact that, you know, hey, 1 in 6 couples are facing infertility nowadays for a number of reasons and factors, and I think that it's something that's becoming very difficult to ignore. Since the time that my co-author and I started this ministry to now, there are many more resources, many more dioceses are starting groups. There's a local parish in Miami that has started an infertility support group that is inviting the diocese at large. There are several dioceses that do masses for Infertility Awareness Month, or in October, which is Miscarriage Awareness Month. There are, you know, like I said, it is a matter of, I mean, I could rattle off a list of a few of them, but for all we know, other dioceses do have resources that they have developed recently. I think there's one little thing that I think can get the ball rolling, and I encourage every diocese or every parish to do this. Why don't we suggest to pastors that on Mother's Day or Father's Day, they include an intercessory prayer in the prayers of the faithful that says, for, you know, because obviously that day is dedicated to honoring mothers and fathers, but what about those people who are sitting in the pews lamenting and wanting nothing but to be mothers and fathers? Just creating an awareness of the fact that these people are present, they're around us, they're in our parishes. You know, have an intercession that says, we'd like to pray for those who are spiritual parents, who is a spiritual mother or father, who longs to be parents, that their desire be fulfilled in God's holy time, something to that effect. Sometimes we can write it out for the priest, and we have some of those resources on our Facebook page for our book, Infertility Companion for Catholics. But that way, we're getting people thinking that there are people around us that can't be ignored. I think that's one little thing that people can do. And who knows if sometimes from there can grow a community of people who are in the same boat.
That's a beautiful idea, because we did have a number of pieces of email from listeners wondering, and also talking about the pain of going through Mother's Day, especially in the next couple of weeks when you're a couple who's childless. But also we heard from something that I thought was profound from Elizabeth, and one of great strength, great hope, and a great spiritual foundation in her marriage. Now in her late 30s, she and her husband have been trying to have children for 10 years with no success. And also, in that process, learning that and coming to peace with, we're a family of two. And in the beauty of saying, we're a family of two, that's a very important point to communicate, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think that sometimes people think, oh, we're waiting to start a family. The family begins at the altar. And I think that a family of two can be just as fruitful as a family of 10. You know, I think that fruitfulness in marriage, yes, the ultimate desire might be children, and I certainly don't minimize or discount that desire and that will. But a couple who, we know many couples who now are middle-aged and didn't have children, were not blessed with children, but they have given to ministries with battered wives, battered women and children. They have given in service to the choir, to the church. They can certainly be godparents and spiritual parents and aunts and uncles. And it may not be a replacement for the desire to have a child, but it certainly is a way that God is calling them to be fruitful in their marriages, not to mention to themselves. They can be a blessing, and they can be fruitful in their marriages by being a blessing to one another.
Angelique Ruiz Lopez's website is CatholicInfertilityJourney.com, CatholicInfertilityJourney.com. We'll put that link on our Morning Air Facebook page, so you can share that perhaps with a couple that you know who is fighting infertility right now and maybe struggling with it and really needs a stronger foundation in prayer and faith to deal with infertility in their marriage. And the book, here it is right here. I'm holding it up. Yes, we hold up books even on the radio, Angelique. It's the Infertility Companion for Catholic Catholics with a beautiful front cover, some spiritual and practical support from Catholics. Angelique Ruiz Lopez, along with Carmen Santa Maria from Ave Maria Press, and we'll put that link as well on our Morning Air Facebook page so you can have that as well. Angelique, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Creating a culture of vocations, from the married life to the single life to the priesthood and a life as a religious. We'll do that coming up with Bishop Edward Scharfenberger. That and more in the next half hour of Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
I just took a Balance of Nature for the first time. You guys are awesome. God bless you.
I have CIDP. It's helped me with my balance. It's helped clear up my skin condition.
I honestly did notice a difference. That's why I reordered it.
I feel good. I really just feel good. Everything has changed. I just feel so much better.
There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that this product works. It's helped me as far as my overall health. I even recommended it to my mother, and she's been taking it, and she's 89 years old.
Call now to find out how you can get your free set of fruits and veggies. When you can give your body a full variety of 31 different fruits and vegetables, you receive the unmatched balance of nutrition. Call toll-free 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and be sure to enter promo code RELEVANT.
For all of the good that can be shared in social media, there's a lot of hornet's nests waiting to snap and get you. But that's why it's important that we don't just turn everything over to those who would use these tools for negativity.
Elizabeth is the Director of Marketing and Mission Awareness for the Archdiocese of St. Louis. Hi, Joe. Welcome.
How is one to communicate a proper response in those 144 characters?
You know, read St. Paul and really look at how he communicated with the people. You know, he was speaking out and defending the faith in a time that was very hostile. We have to do so through love. I think if you go out and you dip your toe in the pool of social media, that's going to be important in order to, you know, help evangelize.
I'm really glad you suggest the Pauline letters. That's a great meditative experience, and I hope all of our listeners will do as you're telling us to do.
On Call with Wendy Weiss, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central on Relevant Radio.
Archbishop of Philadelphia, Charles Chaput.
All of them were bumping into Jesus, but it was only one of them who actually touched Jesus in a way that he felt his healing power coming out of him. And the reason he experienced her differently than those who bumped into him is because she was a woman of faith. We spend more time bumping into Jesus than in touching him. Sometimes when we receive him in Holy Communion, it's more like bumping into him than actually allowing him to touch us. When we say our prayers, and we really don't pray very much at all, but we're distracted, we have to become women and men of faith who actually are aware of Jesus when we come in contact with him. And when that happens, when we become men and women of faith, the same thing happens to us as happened to her. He touches us and he says to us, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction."
Giving voice to our shepherds, talk radio for Catholic life, Relevant Radio.
The Inner Life with Chuck Neff.
When I think about doing what they're doing, I just can't imagine the courage it would take, the love of Jesus they obviously have in their hearts, an intense prayer life, living the sacraments. What did you see in Mother Teresa and her sisters?
You know, people would recoil from what the sisters did. Somebody even said to Mother, "Mother, I couldn't do this if you gave me $1 million." And Mother Teresa said, "I wouldn't do it for $1 million either." It's about love. When she first came to New York to open an AIDS hospice, that disease was still very poorly understood, and all the doctors are briefing, "Okay, if you're going to do this," all the sisters had to be gowned and gloved and masked. And she nodded politely, listening to what the doctor said. The first patient arrived, and Mother just went right over to the person and hugged the person. She didn't put on a gown or gloves or a mask. She just went and hugged the person. You know, it's about love.
The Inner Life with Chuck Neff. Weekdays, 12 Eastern, 11 Central, on Relevant Radio.
26 before the hour on Wednesday morning. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio, creating a culture of vocations, whatever that vocation might be. Bishop Edward Scharfenberger from the Diocese of Albany joining us in the next 10 minutes on Morning Air on Relevant Radio. But I brought in my parish bulletin this morning because in the parish bulletin, there are any number of conferences. I happen to reside in the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut, as we do this show from our New York studios. And there are one, two, three different conferences in the diocese coming up over the next couple of weeks. Even in our own parish, we have a little fellowship thing for men from 7 to 7:45 in the morning, just before 8 o'clock Mass. So that is a conference in terms of just, you know, sharing our spirituality with each other. And very often we see those in our parish bulletins, or we hear about these conferences, and our eye goes over them. We think, oh, that's nice, but have you ever gone to one? And the power of going to one, when I say power, I mean the power of how that would affect your soul. John Beaulieu is the Director of Partnerships and Engagement in the Christian Outreach Office for Franciscan University. Joins us from Steubenville, Ohio. And you talk about the Steubenville conferences. I can't count how many guests that we have had here, or even many of you who have called who have been to the Steubenville conferences. Maybe your kids have been, for high school youth, for young adults, for you as adults as well, and have told us about what a profound change it had in your spiritual journey. John, good morning. Welcome. Good to have you on Morning Air.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back on.
You know, I'm not overselling the power of conferences because, listen, I was another one of those people who sat in the pews and my eyes kind of glazed over what is usually at the bottom of page 3 in the bulletin saying, oh, that's nice. I wonder who goes to those, until I finally got out of my comfort zone and went to one of those. And it was like, whoa. Why have I been robbing my soul of the richness that is available in the conferences that I went to in my diocese, but you certainly do at Steubenville conferences? So how do we take that first step and get out of our comfort zone to avail ourselves of something that's going to help us on the path to heaven?
Well, I think you nailed it right there. You know, oftentimes that first step, you know, like Peter stepping out of the boat, is a definite step out of your comfort zone. But the nice thing is, you know, for Peter, as he sank beneath the waves, the reward of his faith was he ended up in the arms of Jesus. And when you take a step in faith, especially to come to a conference, and even a Steubenville conference, you know, and you should have the faith to know that God is going to be waiting there for you with whatever it is that you need. And our conferences have a way of, you know, we just create an environment where people can have an encounter with the love of Christ, their faith can be awakened, and they can be strengthened to follow Christ as disciples.
And there's the key word. We're all called to be disciples. And how many times have you gone to something, maybe even in your own parish, where you go to work on Monday morning and just say, you know what I did this weekend? And it may be in a subtle way you evangelize, but you do become a disciple.
Yeah, you know, and that's I think the great hope for the church is, while there are dynamic ministries and things out there that people can participate in, it's really the lay people, you know, average Catholics, I call them, you know, just people in the pews who embrace the call through their everyday life to incorporate sharing the gospel and living out loud the Catholic faith, that are going to really change and take back the culture and have the greatest impact on the world today.
Yeah, we're all just the people in the pews when you stop to think about it, and that's who we are. But we're also being inspired, at least we pray that we're being inspired, to walk with Christ every day in our lives. And, you know, perhaps if we make that more of a fabric of our daily lives, as Catholics, we would be perhaps better Catholics. So I think we all want to do that. But certainly going to a Steubenville conference or even a conference in your own diocese will certainly put you on that path to really walk with Christ in your daily life. And I think, at least in my experience, John saw how I was walking, or how I could walk better with Christ in my daily life.
It is. It's a faith-strengthening experience to come, and through the dynamic preaching of our world-class speaking teams, you know, the sacramental encounters, through the Mass, through confession that's available at every one of our conferences, through Eucharistic adoration, and just then sharing in this experience with hundreds, if not thousands, of other people in the same room, pursuing the same thing as you are, there is a power, a grace that's released at these conferences that's bigger than the Steubenville name, bigger than all of us. It's the Lord pouring out his love in dynamic ways. And we've seen, you know, for the past 40 years that we've been doing this, thousands and thousands of lives changed. Thousands of vocations have come out, especially priesthood. You know, every year when they do the survey, we see, a good portion, at least 10 to 15% of all the men who are being ordained every year, talk about going to a student of a conference as a high school youth and how that was a key moment in their vocational discernment. And I know you talked about having Bishop Scharfenberger on. He's actually going to be one of our speakers this summer, so at our priest, deacons, and seminarians retreat. You know, so we are blessed with great people who come, and they create a great environment for everyone to just to receive all of the goodness that the Lord wants to pour into their lives.
You are going to love Bishop Scharfenberger when he comes out to Steubenville. And what John had mentioned, Glenn, is what we hear so many times. How many priests, I think it was even Father Burke Masters, who also went to a Steubenville conference, who said, okay, that was one of the deciding moments in my life when I wanted to be a priest.
Yeah, and those mountaintop experiences really helped to keep us going strong. And as John, you mentioned that, you know, meeting others like-minded really gives us strength too.
Yeah, and part of what we're trying to do now, and very intentionally through our conferences and also through our website, we have a website called Steubenville Fuel, which is resources for people who come and have that mountaintop experiences. And we know that Christ brought his disciples to the mountaintop. He was happy to do that, to give them that wow, but he knew that they wouldn't have to leave. And then actually when he leaves the Transfiguration, he heads straight towards Jerusalem to face his passion. You know, and so oftentimes Catholics come off the mountaintop and they feel that kind of the wind is out of their sails, but we want to continue to engage people through blogs and videos and that to keep them growing as part of the conference experience year-round. You know, and we have great partners that give us great content. And you know, our goal here is to create disciples and to build the church. It's not just to put on awesome conferences, although that's the heart of it. You know, we want so much more for the people who come.
And, of course, Steubenville Conferences online at steubenvilleconferences.com. As we have mentioned so many times on Morning Air, conferences not only for teens, but young adults and for adults as well. And as we always say, the Holy Spirit is the executive producer of Morning Air. The Holy Spirit is really the focus of the Power and Purpose Conference. This is an adult conference coming up in really just a matter of weeks, June 10th through the 12th. Tell us more about that, John.
Well, you know, every one of our popes for the last 30 years has said, look, you know, the Holy Spirit continues to remain for many Catholics the great unknown. And yet he is the third person of the Trinity. He is the animating force in evangelization. He is the one who draws us into communion with Christ. And it says in the book of Romans that the love of Christ gets poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And so what we want to do is to help Catholics understand the fullness of what that means to have a life that's lived through the power of the Holy Spirit and see the purpose and direction that letting the Holy Spirit become the interior master of your life can really mean to you in your personal walk and in the way that you're able to bring others into that through your witness, through your life, and through just living, like I said, living the faith out loud in a very dynamic way without fear and without, you know, discouragement.
Which brings us seamlessly, John, to a program that you're having coming up at the middle or the end of the summer, at the end of July, and that is the Defending the Faith Conference, and really to stand up, which is something that I think we all need to do, especially with the attacks on religious liberties, really to stand up for who we are as Catholics, to stand up for the true church, for the church in a very bold way.
Yeah, this year, the Defending the Faith Conference is going to be outstanding. You know, this team is always led by Dr. Scott Hahn, and I think most people are fairly familiar with how brilliant he is at taking the complex and make it understandable for every Catholic. But he's going to be joined by Archbishop Cordiglione from San Francisco, Jeff Cavins, Alan Hunt, Patrick Madrid, Father Michael Schmitz, Dr. Ted Sri, Sherry Waddell, all these top names. And really the focus of this year's conference is to help people understand the issues surrounding marriage and the morality, and yet talking about how we can present the unwavering truth of the church in a very merciful way. And it really will help people understand topics from same-sex attraction to same-sex marriage and how the church teaches on these issues and how we can go forth and be a living witness of both the truth and yet a merciful witness so that we can bring people back into communion, hopefully, through what we're doing in our action with our witness. So.
Wow, that is the Catholic Major League All-Star Game on July 29th through the 31st. Listen to those names. Incredible. That's Defending the Faith, Standing for the Church with Boldness, Zeal, and Love. And again, just really the tip of what is available to you, those wonderful spiritual resources through the Steubenville Conferences. And why going to a conference, a Steubenville Conference, or even if you want to start with some small steps in your own diocese, really does help you walk with Christ in your daily life. SteubenvilleConferences.com. That link will be on our Morning Air Facebook page. John Beaulieu, the Director of Partnerships and Engagement in the Christian Outreach Office for Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. Thank you for your time. Thank you for putting on all of these conferences and touching so many souls.
It is our blessing. I'll just say real quick, we have an early bird deadline that is this Friday. And so if you go online and you register for one of our conferences over the next 3 days, you'll receive a $25 discount on the registration fee. And you can also learn about our Share a Mission program, where you can get further discounts by inviting people to come with you. So go to StubenvilleConferences.com. You'll find all the information. And thank you for having me on, and thank you for your kind words. It's our immense blessing to be able to serve the church in this capacity.
Thank you, John Beaulieu, again online at StubenvilleConferences.com. 16 minutes before the hour, it's Morning Air on Relevant Radio, a culture of vocations, from being a single person, the culture of the beautiful vocation of marriage, to consecrated life, to the priesthood. We'll take a look at a culture of vocations, how we can create that and build that with Bishop Edward Scharfenberger, the Bishop of the Diocese of Albany, next on Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
The all-new Relevant Radio App 3.0.
I really am rugged and handsome, aren't I?
Thank you for the Relevant Radio App. I have begun using the audio prayers and the rosary on the app, and it keeps me awake and keeps me focused on the mysteries of the rosary as I'm praying it.
Listen to any of our programs, any of them, on the Relevant Radio App in the podcast.
It's the Catholic Everything App. You get live radio, news, prayers. It's free.
Check your smart device. And if the Relevant Radio App didn't update automatically, be sure to download version 3.0 today.
Backed by your prayers and your generosity, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
I encourage all of your listeners to donate whatever they can, because you just don't know how far it reaches to give to the Lord for the catechesis of us all. It helps everyone with their specific vocation. Whatever people do, Relevant Radio will help them to do it better and in a more godlike way.
Listener supported.
Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio. It was my lifeline. I don't know what I would have done without Relevant Radio. So please pick up the phone, because you're not just supporting quality Catholic entertainment. You're supporting some people's lifeline to the Catholic faith.
Our need is ongoing. Please call now with your tax-deductible donation. 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123. Or donate online at relevantradio.com.
The Holy Father said, "I prefer a wounded family that makes daily efforts to put love into play to a family and society that is sick from isolation or habitual fear of love. I prefer a family that makes repeated efforts to begin again to a family and society that is narcissistic and obsessed with luxury and comfort."
Keeping you connected with Pope Francis and the Church.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
Thirteen before the hour, it's John and Glenn. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio. Creating a culture of vocations in our society. It's beautiful when you just stop to think about that. Let's go inside creating a culture of vocations with Bishop Edward Scharfenberger, the Bishop of the Diocese of Albany, New York. Bishop Scharfenberger is doing a Vocations Summit. It's coming up next week on May 1st to create that culture of vocations. Your Excellency, good to have you back on Morning Air. Welcome.
Good morning, John. Great to be on Relevant Radio. And may I just hasten to say that the date is May the 7th, Saturday, May 7th.
May the 7th.
I just want to make that. Yeah. I mean, anybody, listen, if you want to come up to Auriesville on May 1st, that's a good day to be up there, too. But
I've been in Albany many times. It is a gorgeous part of the country.
Isn't it beautiful?
And, and spending a week in the Capital District would just be beautiful. So yes. The Vocation Summit on May 7th. What's going to be under that umbrella of a Vocation Summit? I'm a single person. Glenn is a married guy. We have people discerning life in as a religious, as a priest. What are you going to do?
Well, you named it. I mean, we're all called to in some way, to respond to the Lord's call. As Pope Francis often says, when you let Jesus look at you, He calls us. He calls us to himself and looks at us with love. We don't have to be afraid of that because he sees what God has made in us and what God is calling out from us. And when we turn to the Lord and encourage others to turn to the Lord, we're going to get a call. We're going to be sent on mission because God isn't just going to let us stand there. God loves us so much and needs the rest of the world to know that love as well, too. And the Lord is going to call us to bring that love, to bring the good news in the specific way, the specific location, as we might say, which means call, calling out, that we have been commissioned to follow. And that could be to the single life in some way or some way of as a single person living that out, you know, in your case as an evangelizer on the radio or broadcast ministry, or it could be through primarily through the sacrament of marriage, and or it could be through vocation to the priesthood or to the religious life, campus ministry perhaps. You know, sometimes people have a specific vocation to just dedicate their lives to a particular part of God's people. You know, or Catholic education as catechist. So our objective is, as you say, to create this culture of vocations. And by that I mean a sense that all of us are involved in calling out from one another what the Lord is directing us to do so that the mission of Jesus on earth can continue.
Bishop Scharfenberger, that's such a big and good idea, I think, and first kind of struck me back in my Lutheran days, and I was doing radio. It was rock radio at the time, but really wanted to get into Christian radio, but there were no opportunities in the town I lived in, and then heard a sermon at the Lutheran church I was going to at the time talking about how, you know, God is ready, willing, and needs to use us right where we're at in our current environment.
Beautiful.
And I think
I love that.
By people looking at it that way, I mean, that can, for one, make that light bulb go off, but to know that there's work for all of us to be done, and it can be very energizing to know that it's right in front of us.
It is, and it really does make a difference, you know. Each of us could be the instrument through which God calls out somebody else. I have a priest friend of mine, for example, who believes, he says it this way, he says, I got my vocation from my Jewish teacher. And what actually happened was when he was in school, he was in high school, and it was a public school, and he had a teacher that he was fond of. I think she was his science teacher. And she said, you know, you'd be a good priest. You know, and this lady had no Christian roots per se, other than what all Jews do. You know, we come from a common mother, of course, as Jews and Christians. But she just saw in him something that she thought would be the qualities of a good priest that he did not see, and his Catholic friends did not. And he's an excellent priest today.
Wow. Bishop Edward Scharfenberger from the Diocese of Albany talking about a culture of vocations. A day looking at that coming up on May 7th in the Diocese of Albany. I saved a tweet of yours, Bishop Ed. This is from April 17th. I said, I've got to ask Bishop Ed next time he's on Morning Air what he meant, because it really struck me. And the more I see it, the more it affects me differently every time. And you tweeted, unless you are willing to do the ridiculous, God will not do the miraculous.
Well, I hope I gave due credit for the author of that particular, and if I didn't, I will now. That was actually Mother Angelica who had said that. I didn't realize that when I first picked it up myself, to be honest with you. And then somebody said, oh, well, you aren't the first that said that. And, you know, it's true. Sometimes God asks us to do things that seem to us in the world to be ridiculous, you know, like Jesus with the apostles, just drop your nets and follow me. How am I going to do that, you know? And the call of the first apostles, you know. And the other thing, too, that consistently we find that a young man or woman, for example, who may feel themselves called to the priesthood or religious life, may feel, oh, God wouldn't want a schlep like me, you know, because, you know, I'm struggling with sin and I'm, you know, and I've all the things I did that I wasn't supposed to do in my youth and so forth and so on. So we assume that God wouldn't want me and that it would be, yeah, ridiculous for somebody like me to ever imagine myself standing up and preaching to somebody else, you know, when I have enough struggles of my own. And yet, when we look at what happens when Jesus calls us, practically every saint had a process of conversion from where they were to where the Lord's power would bring them. You know, Pope Francis has said, I'm quoting from him, he says, conversion and vocation are two sides of the same coin. So you're not going to be called without also experiencing some conversion. And that conversion is going to sometimes feel to you to be absolutely ridiculous. How could I? You know, Pope Francis says the same thing himself, too. You know, remember when he was first elected Pope, they asked him, how do you describe yourself, you know? And he said, the one thing I know I can say about myself that is absolutely true is that I am a sinner, you know? And I'm sure there were some people that said, maybe next day he's going to make some big revelation of some past scandal or something, you know? But not at all. He was talking about the everyday struggle that all of us have with sin, with temptation, and how if we look at ourselves in our sinful moments, we can, and one another, we can look at one another with contempt, you know, and say, oh, what an idiot, you know, what a jerk, what, that type of thing, you know, pardon my Brooklyn, I talk this way. But the reality is God doesn't see us that way. God never sees us as sinners. God sees the beauty inside of us, and the reason he comes into our life is to purify us from the sin. So we don't have to be afraid, and what anybody else may say, oh, you know, who do you think you are, you know? It's not about us. It's about the Lord's love for us and his call for us to make us his disciples and to do it in a way that can best fulfill who we are. It's really what a vocation does. It helps us to be who we are, truly are, and not all the other things, not our past, not any judgments anybody else made of us, including ourselves.
Bishop Scharfenberger, another saying comes to mind, that one that God qualifies the called rather than calls the qualified. You know, we can take heart that he used fishermen and tax collectors and all that to do great things, and if we're all messed up, he's happy to use us too.
That's right. That's the history of it all too. You know, St. Paul, another one too. You know, he was a very enthusiastic guy, you know, persecuting Christians, and you know, the Lord just turned that around and made it a constructive thing. He took his passions for the truth, and he oriented them in the right direction towards the truth of God's love.
We're talking about vocations here this morning. The Diocese of Albany Vocations Summit is coming up 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. on May 7th. That's Saturday, May 7th, at the Shrine of the North American Martyrs in Orrisville, New York, which is beautiful if you've not been there. If you're listening any place in the Northeast, it's a very quick ride up there, 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. It will be probably a life-changing experience for you. We were just talking recently, Bishop Scharfenberger, about going to Catholic conferences, of stepping out of our comfort zone and just strengthening our relationship with Christ on that journey to heaven. So our conversation about the Vocation Summit is particularly timely. Who are some of the voices in addition to you that we'll hear at the Summit?
We're really delighted to have Father Tim Burney, who is the Vocation Director of the Archdiocese of Detroit. He's got an excellent sense of humor, and he's going to be our keynote speaker first up in the morning at 9:30, and then we have Rhonda Grunewald, and she's going to talk about creating a vocation ministry in parish. Her focus is parish-based, for example, through the instrument of parish vocation committees, so particularly engaging young people. And then also Sam Alzheimer, who is the founder of Vianney Vocations, and he will speak about the discipleship and discernment, how it's an ongoing process of trying to discern where's the Lord calling me, and particularly formation of young people in Catholic schools, youth ministry, and campus ministry. And all the information is available on albanyvocations.org. So everything that I've been speaking about is summed up in albanyvocations.org, and you can get much more information there as well.
Bishop Scharfenberger, one of the things we hear from vocations directors is the power of grandparents as far as kind of moving things along a little bit. Do you find that to be the case too?
We see that everywhere, you know, everywhere. I mean, grandparents, not only in vocations, but even in just overall promoting the faith, you know, encouraging, the baptism and confirmation of their grandchildren. And very many times, very generous contributors to our Catholic schools and religious education programs as well too. So they're influenced. I mean, I often say in confirmations, you know, let's thank our parents and grandparents, because none of us would be here physically if it weren't for them, and none of us would have the faith if it weren't for them. So the faith that's been passed on from our grandparents to us, we're all very grateful for.
The Diocese of Albany Vocation Summit is coming up on Saturday, May 7th. You can learn more at albanyvocations.org. That link will be on our Morning Air Facebook page. Bishop Scharfenberger, may we have your blessing, please?
May God bless each and every one of us who are gathered here today over this wonderful media on Relevant Radio. Touch our lives personally. And my prayer that is that everyone will hear the voice of Jesus. Where is the Lord calling you today? Hear the voice and respond generously without fear, because not only does Jesus call us, he accompanies us on the way. May God's blessing be upon all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We got to take you back to your home turf one day and maybe do a Morning Air show evangelizing over some thin crust pizza at Grimaldi's under the Brooklyn Bridge, okay?
That would be fantastic.
Bishop Edward Scharfenberger in the Diocese of Albany, New York, this morning at a minute before the hour on Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for listening to this hour of Morning Air on listener-supported Relevant Radio. For information on guests and topics, go to relevantradio.com and enter keyword Morning Air. That's relevantradio.com, keyword Morning Air.